Part 2. Chapter 34. Dalinar 2. Even after 2.5 months back from the war, the sweet breezes of Kolinar felt foreign to Dalinar. The fertile cliffs of the late, green with hanging vines and blooming rock buds, were unnatural to eyes accustomed to stormland browns. The winds, gentle even during summer high storms, seemed to taunt him with their weakness. Dalinar stood on his palace balcony, his posture stiff, though he was alone. He had thought to find peace in returning to Kolinar, but peace was something that had been lost to him for far too long. When he closed his eyes, swords clanged and arrows hissed. When he walked the hallways of the palace, he saw memories of the dead. Images of Nolhanaran, his elder brother and king. Images of his first wife, Kalkana, whose name had meant the Almighty's gift of peace. Worst were the memories of Shenaris. Dalinar's heir would have been almost 30 years old had the lad still lived. Peace was a lie. For Dalinar there would always be a war. If not a war he lived, then one he remembered. And if he began to think he might learn to avoid both, a messenger would visit his palace. This time there were two.
"My lord?"
The voice was so sweet, so uncertain.
"The messengers wait for you to answer them. They are unhappy."
Dalinar turned his head toward Kanay, and the girl immediately lowered her eyes, blushing. He could see her self-consciousness. She tried so hard to please him. He knew of her efforts, and he forced himself to be civil. Yet she was clever and could sense his dissatisfaction, even if she couldn't understand that there was nothing she could ever do to remove it. No power in Roshar, not even the Almighty's hand itself, could force Dalinar to ever be this girl's husband in anything other than name. "Tell them to wait," Dalinar ordered, turning away again. Kanay retreated, leaving Dalinar to his unrest. He turned his eyes to the south. Over the ridge of the lake he could see the Mount of Ancestors rising in the distance. On its eastern slope crouched Ral-Aram, the first capital, the city founded by the heralds themselves. During the 2 months following the end of the Prelir War, Elokar had moved his armies through the Oathgate and organized them in the foothills below Ral-Aram, ostensibly to see to their dismantlement. However, it took nearly as long to disband an army, collecting its gear, paying its wages, and organizing its registration, as it took to gather one, especially considering the travel time from Prala. Now that he had decided to attack Jezenrosh, Elokar would need barely a few days to reorient and reorganize his men. He could probably march on Crossguard with at least half his original numbers. Jezenrosh would never be able to match such a force. Still, he did hold the defensive advantage. Unlike the Pralans, the Aleth nobleman was well equipped and had a good number of both Awakeners and Shardbearers. Even with superior numbers, Elokar would not find Crossguard an easy stone to break. Dalinar shook his head. There was more to the coming war than tactics. There were two boys, young to Dalinar despite their titles. Elokar, Jezenrosh, and Shenaris had played together as children. Even then, Elokar had known that he would one day be king, and Jezenrosh had chafed at the arrogance he saw. Shenaris had always been the peacemaker. Dalinar could not take his son's place. There would be no peace now, not with assassins dead in Ral-Aram. And so the separate messengers came running. Who would Dalinar, the grand tyrant Bane himself, support? Dalinar turned from the balcony, walking past the oak storm shutters and through his chambers. The messengers stood respectfully as he entered the audience hall. It was a small room, without grand columns or ostentation. Dalinar waved the men to sit, then took his own seat before them. Arador and Renarin waited in the back, along with several of Dalinar's tribute lords and the young shardbearer Merin. Dalinar rested an elbow on the chair's armrest, rubbing his chin as he regarded the messengers. Both wore Aleth blue, their cloaks emblazoned with a stylized coal glyph. Elokar's Sunburst for the man on the left, Jezenrosh's Stormwinds for the man on the right. Neither messenger had been pleased to discover the other's presence. "This is wrong," Dalinar thought. "So very wrong."
"Well," Elokar's messenger finally asked, "what is your decision, Lord Dalinar? Will you stand with your king, or will you join the traitor?"
"My lord is no traitor," Jezenrosh's messenger snapped.
"His men tried to kill the king," Elokar's messenger said. "After Elokar shamed them publicly before the entire court," the second man said, standing.
"What those men did for their own honor has nothing to do with Lord Jezenrosh."
"Enough,"
Dalinar said, bringing silence to the room. The messengers turned toward him expectantly. Dalinar sighed.
"I cannot choose between the sons of my brothers, and I will not take part in their squabbling. My house and those of my tribute lords will remain neutral. Any shardbearer or lord beneath my rule who chooses to join either side will be stripped of rank and blade. Let them find another lord to follow if they think so flippantly of my commands."
"This is a dangerous move, Parshan," Elokar's messenger informed, his expression darkening.
"Begone," Dalinar said, rising. "Both of you."
Jezenrosh's messenger bowed stiffly, then turned and left. Elokar's messenger trailed behind.
"Know that the Kolinar Oath Gate will be sealed with the others," he said. "The king's orders should you refuse to aid him. He cannot have a man he does not trust at his back."
Dalinar turned from the messenger, not watching as the man left. A few seconds later, footsteps approached from behind.
"Is this wise, father?" Arador's voice asked quietly. "I will not choose between them," Dalinar replied.
Arador stepped to the side, moving so that he could see into Dalinar's eyes. The boy's arm was still in a sling, his face pale from exertion. After the last week's ordeal, Arador had spent much time in bed recovering from blood loss and injury.
"This war is not just, father," the boy said. "Jezenrosh's men tried to kill the king," Dalinar replied. "Regardless of whether they acted on his orders, he is responsible for the sins of his men."
"That is the same argument Elokar used to take Renarin's blade," Arador said. "I didn't believe it then, either."
"And if Jezenrosh did give them orders?" Dalinar asked.
Arador paused. Then he looked back, his jaw determined.
"Something smells wrong here, father. Something about the assassin's attack, the letter Lady Yasna gave me.
I spent these last few months in communication with Jezenrosh, father. I don't think he would have done this."
Dalinar regarded the boy.
"Communication? What kind of communication?"
Arador glanced away.
"It's unimportant now."
Dalinar sighed. Arador's instincts were good. Something did indeed smell wrong. A king should not take up arms against his kinsmen, and an uncle should not be forced to watch his nephews kill one another.
"We will remain neutral, Arador," Dalinar said firmly. "Those are your orders."
Dalinar could sense the displeasure in his son's posture. Arador was young. Inaction felt worse to the boy than treason. Arador turned without responding, stalking from the room. The other occupants dribbled away after him, all except Kinney, who waited by the back wall, ever dutiful with her diminutive Tala and wide eyes.
"Almighty forgive me for abandoning the one who dies," Dalinar thought.